Do it. So,
here we go. We'll do it to it. Because Cherry Hill Tony says, do it to it. Come on.
Pizza, pizza.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I use the bathroom.
Eagle! Showtime!
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was on the dining room sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. For the stream and cool with the DLNGS.
Welcome to episode 916 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight we have Pat.
Happy summer.
Yeah, and I don't know if the other guys are going to show up, but we'll just carry on with that.
And Joel just blurred in and talk about his house and amazing.
And then Joe will egg them on, depending on what order they come in. So Pat, get this, right? I'm heading up to, Brigantine this weekend.
Jersey?
Yes. And it's cause it's my father-in-law's funeral. He passed away back
sorry to hear that.
And well, thanks. He passed away back in October. I think it was, or November, I forget which, I think it was October. And, the services are on Saturday, so we're heading up Friday, staying Cherry Hill, and then we're going to Brigantine like we always do for the week, once a summer. And I went to load up my Easy Pass, make sure I have enough on there, cause there's tolls on the way up, particularly the Bay Bridge Tunnel. And so I'm still using the same Easy Pass that I got when we went to Ohio Linux Fest back in the day.
You bought it on, what is it, 70, not 70?
Yeah, yeah, the Turnpike, I think it was. We stopped at that rest area.
Yeah, in the rest area.
Yeah.
Machines with the Easy Passes.
And I'll tell you what. I bought it there. It's worked fine ever since. They have not changed the website for that since I bought this damn thing. It is straight out of like late 90s, early 2000s. The website.
I know some like that. They're out there.
It is just, yeah. It's easy enough to use. Don't get me wrong. It just looks so outdated. They might as well just have it on GeoCities.
Sure.
Speaking of GeoCities, you in your new house?
Liner in my office. Yes.
Wow, look at that.
Yay.
What are you sitting on the floor with your laptop plugged in and that's the only furniture you have is your knees that you sit it on?
No. No, we had Saturday we had the love seat in the recliner delivered. My wife let me have the recliner, thankfully. So I've got my office chair and my recliner up here. I've got most of my furniture. I don't have the printer set up yet, cause I have more space and I'd like to segregate things a little bit more. I'm kind of a...
By printer, you mean both the 3D printer and what? The inkjet?
No, inkjet's downstairs. That's gonna be in her office. I don't need no inkjet. No, the 3D printer. I could put it on what I used to have it on, in my, office when we were in Dublin in the apartment, but I kind of want to have another space either that I can put the some laptops on or other systems on and then one for the printer. Yeah, I'm kind of trying to get some stuff at IKEA, but I need to get like two dressers and I need to get a table. A table I'm probably going to be able to find. But the last few days I've been trying to find a specific, well, really any one of two specific dressers, and they've been out of stock. So, I assume it's supply issues, but no major issues with the house. Except for the things we already knew about. Although our stove was finally delivered yesterday, as well as our dishwasher. The dishwasher, apparently they had the opening a little bit too large, so they're working on getting some filler boards in there to make it look better. But and then really the only other kind of little issue is the kitchen faucet is real slow. I'm not exactly sure why. So I sent a text to the superintendent. I'm going to probably go ahead and learn how to put in a service request, because that's kind of annoying, because it's only that, which is weird. You know, you has a attached, you know, like a sprayer, like for spraying stuff in the sink, and that's got plenty of water pressure and works just fine. But when you're just trying to fill like a glass of water or something, although not that I use the sink for that, I have a refrigerator with that in it, and thankfully. When you try, like, say if you're trying to fill a pot of water for, pasta or something, it's gonna take a long time. So, and then this morning, my PitBoss 850 arrived, and we had steak for dinner.
That's nice. Did you try taking the little I don't know what to call it, the head off the faucet to see if that was like blocking it or something?
I'd have to find a tool first. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, there's that problem, I guess.
Yeah. It could be that. I don't know. You know, it's just. And the dishwasher works fine, so there's plenty of pressure right into there, so I think it's just something with that faucet, you know.
It makes you wonder, like, didn't they test it before, you know, after they put it in to make sure it was...
One would hope. I mean, we tested the toilets before we closed, so, I mean, we actually used them, so...
And, I love it.
And I don't know... if you've seen Dan, but unfortunately, Sassy's no longer with us.
Oh, what happened? We had to put her down.
Like last Thursday, it was going into Wednesday night, right after the show.
You had said something about, like, she was having a problem.
Mm-hmm. So, this was all day. That's when she was throwing up and stuff, right? So, anyway, after the show about 1 o'clock in the morning, she's like barking and fussing, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? You know, and I just, and she's panting constantly. So I'm like, we gotta go get her checked out. So I took her over to MedVet, and, they did some imaging on her. They found a cantaloupe sized, mass in her gut.
God stinks.
And, you know, she's 13. There's no point, the doctor said if it was cancer, you know, the whole surgery cost probably would have been around $5,000.
Right.
And it would have only gave her like 9 months more life. So we made the hard decision and had to put her down. So
I'm sorry, man. That's a tough call.
And she's right here in the same room right across from me. We got her, ashes and, they did a paw print. So she's gonna be in my office the whole time. But yeah, it's sad. But you know, I didn't want to make a choice that was for me. I wanted it to be more for her, so but and more interesting house stuff, but that's actually tech oriented, so we can actually start the show.
Oh, we'll go right ahead. Give us the tech.
Oh, all right. Oh, we already started? I missed
Yeah,
the start.
No, we already started the show.
Okay.
We didn't know when anybody was showing up, so we...
Cool. So I get to the house, and Friday we slept just slept in the house. We didn't have any furniture Friday. We just had some air mattresses and stuff. And Spectrum came. And lo and behold, I found out that I actually have fiber to the premises. So there's an actual fiber optic cable running into my garage. Well, that kind of put a kink into my network plans. Cause I thought it was all going to come in via a coax cable.
Okay.
And, so, you know, I have a coax right next to, the four Ethernet drops I put in the office. I'm still using them. I had to kind of figure out in different ways. I'm still kind of trying to hash it out. Right now, my best speeds are, believe it or not, are coming from Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So, I had some power line adapters. I want to try upgrading those. I tried upgrading them, ordering them from Amazon, but there's nobody can find this place. I mean, we're not on Google Maps or anything at this point.
No, that's you're not.
We're the fourth house to close in the neighborhood. So, anywho,
what's Amazon say, though? You just can't deliver to you?
The Amazon one is weird, because I ordered like two or three things. I actually just ordered another thing. But right now, the only thing that really came up missing was the one coming by Amazon itself. I got some network cables sent to me. Those ones, the post office initially held. Then they sent it out for delivery, and we don't have, we have centralized mail, so like there's a piece of concrete up the street here that has, mailboxes installed.
Right.
Not one of us in the neighborhood have our keys yet. And I actually met, Friday or Saturday, I met the postman, and he actually handed me my network cables. So, the Amazon one, I don't know what happened. They just couldn't find it. And then I had some stuff come from FedEx, which happened to be, and this actually kind of plays into Sassy a little bit. But I had, her medicine, had shipped prior to her passing. And, I pinged, Chewy.com and said, hey, we just got this medicine. Unfortunately, we had to put our dog down. So the the Chewy.com, if you need pet supplies for your dog or cat, go
or
there.
Or bird,
yeah. Because here's how cool they are. When I told them that, they refunded me all of the cost of that medicine, which is like $80. All right. The next day, I get a knock on the door. Oh, and this is also kind of an interesting thing of how people can find this place. A florist dropped off a bouquet of flowers, and they were from Chewy.com for Sassy. So
that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, now I'm forever fan of them now. The other I'm trying to think who the other one was. UPS. UPS was delivered some, we bought Luke, a slut comfort bed like we have, which we absolutely love.
Okay.
So, they ship us a cover for the mattress before the bed arrives. So his bed's not getting here till like August 17th. He's gonna sleep on a cot for now. And, so they sent this cover, and it was due to get here like the day we closed, and it missed. And you go in there, it says, I go into the UPS website with the tracking number, and it says, the address was wrong. I look and I'm like, nope, it's exactly right. So I called and bitched and moaned it. It took me 10 minutes to explain to UPS that, no, the address is absolutely 100% correct. You just don't know how to find it. So eventually they did bring it. So they did finally figure out where it was. But right now, if I'm telling people how to get here, the best way is to tell them to look on Google Maps for D.R. Horton Grove City. There's only one D.R. Horton development for Grove City, and you'll find the little model trailer thing that is on the Google Maps. So, and then if you can find that, you can find us. It's actually pretty easy to find us after that, because there's only four houses in here, and the number's right on front, so. But, so anyway, back to the tech, the network connection, I first tried just running the main router in the office here, and then I had the power line coming off of the fiber box, to an outlet right next, you know, basically in that same area. And then nowhere we either wired or wireless could I get any higher than 70 megabit, which was just unacceptable. I'm paying more for that. Plus, for the Friday when they were in here, I had the only, router I had here was the one that we were using at the hotel. All right. So I had them plug that up, and that worked fine, and I'm seeing between 3 to 500 megabit. Typical. You know, it has its moments. I've seen as high as 700. So, in any event, I switched, basically took the node, the main node, and stuck it out in the garage. I actually still, once we get some of the rest of the stuff that's in the garage cleaned up, I'm gonna take some time to do some wire management and make it look a little bit nicer in the garage, because right now it's just kind of strewn all over the place in that corner. But it does work better. So, and then instead of the mesh nodes being a wired backhaul, right now they're wireless backhaul, which is fine. It generally doesn't cost too much performance, but I actually probably will be using Wi-Fi for work, and I usually don't, although I do have a cable convenient that it, if for some reason I start to have some weird connectivity issues, I can switch the work PC to wired just in case, but I don't think we'll need to go that far. Because 70 megabits fine for work, but just, you know, like, just if I want to watch a video on a tablet or phone or something, it's everything's faster if I have the faster connection. So, but fiber to the premises, it was just, I was blown away by that. And in fact, everything comes in on that fiber. So if, for example, I decide to add TV later, they bring a box and they essentially run an Ethernet cable from a specific port on the fiber box to, I forget what he called it, but basically to this box, other box that they install for the cable, and then they hook all four coax lines into that. So, which is interesting, but, he could have ran the fiber up to, my office, but it probably would have been a royal pain in the butt, but with the insulation and all that stuff, and he probably would have had to go on in through my siding, which I'm like, no, that's fine. We'll do it in the garage. In the garage, he can barely tell it, because he basically just took advantage of the hole that the builder already had there for the cables, so. But, and there's one other thing too. I was thinking, oh, the pit boss. I love that thing, man. I've cooked two things on it already, and I just got it today.
So you cooked steak on it today, right?
Yeah, I did. That's what we did for dinner. I did some steak, but for lunch I had a frozen pizza, because we had frozen pizza last night because I just had an oven. I threw the pizza on the pellet grill, and it came out pretty darn good. I probably would have cooked it a little bit longer, But it really worked out well. I'm kind of impressed with how well it worked out. But
that's cool.
Yeah. The only thing I need to do is, and I have a shop vac. It's still in storage. We still have, like, basically, of the stuff that's left in storage, I can move it with cars. So I don't need a truck for it, you know. Although I'm thinking about, you know, maybe once I get most of the rest of the stuff in the garage packed, you know, done, maybe I might rent like one of those cargo vans and go clean it out just to get rid of the rent, you know.
Right.
But it's came out, the pizza came out really good, and I've heard people doing like, just a regular pizza on it, you know, like, with your make at home dough. So, but that was pretty fantastic. I don't know if the wife would have liked it because the crust got kind of browner than usual on the bottom, because of the, you know, and because I think I probably like, because there's an adjuster in the bottom where you can get like a more open flame or an indirect.
Right.
I probably should just close that grate so it was indirect. So that probably would have helped with the bottom. I think if I do more pizzas in it, I might end up investing in a pizza stone.
Yeah, that's a wise choice, man. I have one of those in mine.
Yep. So I think I may do something like that. But for the steak, so I think, well, it worked pretty well for the steaks. They came out fantastic. I mean, I'll say that. I didn't, you know, they were good enough that now I had to cook. Mine was done first because I don't like mine to be dead. You know, I like little pink in mine.
Right.
Because I like a steak that's tender, not chewed, tougher than chew leather. But the family don't like it, me, Misty and Luke, so I had to cook theirs longer. But because when we got home from the store, because I had to go to the store and buy some potatoes, we didn't have any potatoes that have baked potatoes, so we got to do baked potato. So we went to the store and grabbed that. I already had the steaks. So I think the next time I do steaks, if it's not on a day where the family's like, you know, complaining, Dad, what's for dinner? You know, one of those things. If I have the time, I think what I'm going to do is set the temp for about 180, which will be real smoky. And you put the steaks on then for about a half hour or so. Flip it a time or so, just to kind of spread the smoke flavor, and then turn it up to the normal cooking temp, and then finish them off. So, which is about 10 minutes or so after that. So, all said and done, you're talking probably about an hour cook for some steaks, just because you're getting some flavor. So, but I want to do more on it. I want to do, I think I want to go get a cedar plank and do some salmon on it. Cause I bet you that would work out good. And the best thing is it just holds the temp. And the wildest and probably the best thing I think is the grill, this has Wi-Fi. There's an app that called Smoke It and it connects to the grill. And I can tell what temperature it is. I can even shut the grill off from the phone, which is pretty nice because afterwards you want to kind of burn off the stuff on it, you know, before you shut down. And so I think it's talking about the shop vac that I have in storage. I want to get a smaller one, so that I can use it to help, suck out the ashes and stuff from the firebox. That way, it doesn't, accumulate. You need to do that about every third cook, every third short cook.
So, hey, Joe. How long does it take for it to get up to temperature?
That's an interesting question. It's going to depend on if you just loaded pellets in it or not. I'd say probably about 20, 30 minutes maybe. You know, it takes longer if you have to prime it. Cause basically if you get to, if you run out of pellets or you get to the end of it, you gotta press the prime button, which will carry pellets all the way to the firebox, so that, it can start the fire, so it fills the auger up essentially. So, that takes longer because it takes a while for it to basically just press the prime button and till you start to hear pellets drop into the firebox. So I haven't quite figured out how it starts up, but it does. You know, it's just you turn it on and then it takes a minute or two before it actually starts to really heat up. But then after that, it goes pretty fast. Now, what I've also discovered too is it does lose, like, steaks were cooking. I had it heated to set to 450. And when you open the lid on it, it does lose like about 50 degrees. So, it'll bring your temp back up automatically. So, and you can actually set up like, programs and timers and stuff in the app. It came with a temperature probe. So you basically can tell it, hey, stop cooking when, it gets to this temp of the meat. And then that way, you can stop. Let me see if my wife texts me.
She said, stop playing with your meat.
No. Now she must have messed with the filter on her BiPAP, and I'm like, she's like, come help me, I need help with that. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know? You have a completely different machine than I do. It's like asking an Android user who'd never used iOS to explain iOS to someone anyway. But I think I want to do some chicken wings on the grill. I'd like that.
Who done, man? Chicken wings are great. Smoke them.
Yes, they are. Yes, sir.
That's the way. I smoked some turkey wings on Friday, man. Damn, they were good.
Well, I will say this, though, because there are, like, several pellet grills out there. Probably the top two are Pit Boss and Traeger. And Pit Boss is going to be a little bit cheaper than the Traeger. Traegers are expensive. I don't see the point in the Traegers. The Pit Boss are, mine is the Pit Boss. It's a Pro Series 850. It was about $500 at Lowe's. So I got some sausages to do on there, later this week, cheddar brats. Technically, all those really need are warmed up, though. Because they're already smoked and already cooked. But you can twice smoke them, I guess.
Yeah, you could.
But I do want, like I said, do want to do some salmon on it. Too bad I don't know any hunters out here that give me some venison. I'd love to try some venison on it. I love venison. Oh, it's tasty.
Get yourself a license. Get your own venison, right?
That's too much work, man. And I'd have to buy a gun yet. I don't have one. I'm sure Pat does, though.
How many?
Well, Pat, what have you hunted? You've hunted deer, right?
I've hunted deer, pig, turkey, pig. Rats, squirrels.
There you go. That actually gives me a good idea. See if I can get some turkey legs and smoke them bad boys.
Yeah, The wild turkeys are not as fat and plump and rotund as the raised ones are, the commercial raised ones.
That's true.
A little more leaner. Pheasants are awesome. They're like halfway between a turkey and a chicken.
Yeah, pheasant's really good. I've had pheasants before. My old boss, actually gave me one. It's funny too. See, he and his buddies used to go out into South Dakota and they go on this big giant pheasant hunt and they,
yeah,
between.
Yeah, the Dakotas are like where the pheasant fields are.
Mm-hmm. So they'd come home between the group of them. They'd have a fairly large take. All right. And, so one week after his hunt, he comes bringing a pheasant all, it's all clean and all that and frozen. But because, they have to leave the claws on, because you're only allowed to take, I forget which ones. You're either only allowed to take the male or the females. I'm not sure which one. But apparently you can tell what sex they are by looking at their claws. So the state, before you take them out of state, they make you leave them on. So my wife opens the freezer up and she goes, "Whoa, what is this thing?" I said, "It's a pheasant. I'm going to eat it." And she's like, "You can have it." I'm like, "And I will. And it will taste good too." And it did, man. It's fantastic. I probably prefer it to turkey and chicken, probably. I don't get it often, though, so I don't hunt, but.
Well, I only hunt things I'm willing to eat, so you guys are safe.
So, yeah, I joined my brother threw a Facebook group at me for the pit boss, so. We'll see. I'll learn tips off of that. My brother and my dad both have had one for a while, and I'm anxious to try. They have told me, and I didn't know this until after I bought a bag, and it wasn't that expensive for the pellets, but apparently Sam's Club has them, and they're like $20 for a huge bag. So, and it's just to me. Just my experience tonight, it's just as easy as cooking on propane, so.
And I haven't been hunting in a really long time. Like, decades.
My dad used to hunt squirrel.
Oh, pheasant, quail, duck, deer. That's about it.
Where would your dad hunt squirrel? In the backyard?
I don't know.
Well,
I'd have to ask him.
Did he shoot squirrel? I mean, I wouldn't shoot
he shot
squirrel. I would trap for squirrel.
Squirrels up here in the Northeast are fucking everywhere. They're everywhere. They're
yep.
in yards, they're in parks, they're in the fields, they're in the woods. They're
yeah.
everywhere. Overrun with them.
Yeah,
they're hungry enough.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay. I mean, you know, I made a stew with one. It wasn't horrible.
Right.
Not my favorite, but if I was starving, I wouldn't have a problem eating that.
Yep. Well, it's like, no, what I'd love to get, I don't think you can get anymore. But when I was in college, I saw it, when I worked at, the grocery store up here and their fish department, I was going through the fish department one day and I saw these, shark fillets. And I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. I'll try that. I had a little, this is when I was in my apartment, it was either the rooming house or one of the college things I was in. So I had a little hibachi or a little gas grill or something. I can't remember which. So I got the shark steak and I had, in this same department, they had, this is actually how they were cooking it. They had this Cajun barbecue sauce on shark and it was fantastic. And, but unfortunately, they won't let you, I think it's pretty much banned nationwide because the meat isn't, because sharks are essentially like the goats of the ocean. They'll eat anything. So the meat isn't supposedly not healthy for you. I don't know.
You could have high levels of mercury.
Probably. It's my
that
guess.
And swordfish is another one. But I've seen shark around here. I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah, you can get it fresh. So, but it could also be that they choose not to carry it anymore. But
I haven't had it in a little while myself.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's not it's so much. It's one of the few fish, like salmon's another fish that you can easily do on a grill. You can't always cook every kind of fish on a grill easily.
Yes,
cause,
actually, you can.
Well, it just depends. You have to have some extra accoutrements so
yeah,
it doesn't fall through the grate.
Yeah, a little bit of tin foil, maybe.
Right.
Either that or you pack it in clay and cook it that way.
Right. But, yeah, it just depends. But, I had to look. I think my porcelain grates on the pit boss, I think I can yank them off and stick them in the dishwasher. I think that's what my dad said he does with his, to clean the grates off. But, and ironically, the first thing I cooked in the gas stove was a pizza, which wasn't that hard. But I do need to do something on the stovetop itself just to get used to cooking on gas. I guess it's not that different than cooking on electric, but I've only ever had electric stoves. So this is my first gas one. Well, when we were little, we had a gas stove, but only mom cooked on that. I didn't know how to cook then. I was like seven, you know. So
now it's all good times now, right?
Mm-hmm. Getting used to it. This place is huge compared to our whole old house. I mean, everything feels bigger. And I think part of that comes from the fact, like, the dining area, the kitchen, and the living room are kind of all connected. There's essentially one big giant room. And our bedroom is huge. Like, when our current sleep number bed has had it, I'm gonna upgrade it to a king size when that happens. And we'll get both the independent, head. You can get, your feet and your head can be elevated in those beds, or you can get one with just the head. And right now that's what we have, but we both have to have it at the same level because it's only the whole top of the mattress that elevates on the queen size. Right. But with the, king size, it's big enough that you can be at different levels if you want to. So, beds with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth.
To tell you how well you slept.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, and more tech. We got the smart home system stuff installed along with the security system. And it uses the alarm.com via ADT. The box they put on your wall is actually an Android tablet, a specialized Android tablet. And it has a 4G connection in it. I believe the 4G it uses is Verizon. So the interesting thing, when they come and set it up, the salesperson, they do this layout of all the sensors and stuff that they can include in the system. And she doesn't give you something that's, you know, lay out something that she can't install in the house, right? Because it was a young lady who did the installation. But they lay out all these sensors. We see now, all sudden done, and nobody does this. But if you went with everything there, all the hardware, including the $500 voucher that I had, that it would have been $7,000, and I'm like, yeah, no.
$7,000? What are they gonna do? What do you get for $7,000?
Well, okay, it had sensors on all the doors, and then it had glass break sensors. It had a 1080p camera that she could install either in the front or the back. And then, let's see, a water flood sensor that could be put in like your, I'd probably put that near the laundry room because that's where our pipes come in at. Connected, smoke detectors and, carbon monoxide detectors. Let's see, I'm trying to think what else. Key fobs. So instead of, basically your house would have a key fob like your car has for deactivating and activating the alarm. All these wild fun things. It's like, you know, I'm trying to think what else is on the thing.
So if somebody lifts your car keys, they get your whole life.
Well, essentially, yeah. Well, the thing is it's really kind of superfluous because if you have a smartphone, I can arm the system. I can unlock the doors from my phone, okay? So, I mean.
I wonder how well a replay attack would work with one of those.
I don't think it would work really well because it'd be, the app itself is probably SSL for one. And I'm trying to think where the connection would probably come in, on Z-Wave. Yeah, cause the lock, the thermostat, and there is they give you a plug that basically you can turn on, like plug a lamp into, and it'll turn off and on. The switch on the door is a smart switch. One of the things I need to look at on that one is if I can have it turn on the porch light, at night, you know, automatically, you know, except for on Halloween. Cause, you know, if I'm not giving out any treats, I'm not going to turn my light on.
You're one of those dicks.
No, I probably would, even though my kid hasn't trick or treated in years now, but so that's a smart switch too that controls a porch light. I haven't set up the garage door yet, although I need to. That's kind of one of the things I want to get done by the weekend is get it to the point where I can, cause with the garage door, there's two things I need to do. One, set up the smart features on it, which she didn't do for some reason. That's okay. I can do it. In fact, I could probably add the sensors that she laid out. I looked and I can purchase them on my own and I can add them to the system on my own. So, you know, that's not a problem, but, so the garage door though, I want to do that. And then and I also want to change the code on the keypad because I don't think they have done that yet. Oh, and I also want to set up cause my car, my Traverse has the, HomeLink system built into the, console of it. I basically don't, once I set it up, I don't have to carry the remote in my car for the garage door, but not like I'm going to be able to park in it anyway. Cause my son, he's insisting on, he wants to park in the garage all the time. So it's okay. I'll park. I'm not too good to, park my car in my own driveway. I don't care because I figured it out. Unless I have like really narrow shelving, I don't know if I can ever, like if I wanted to put both cars in the garage, that would be all I can fit in the
garage.
Your
two car garage is more a 1.5 car garage.
It's pretty much, it's tight. I could do it, you know, but it's like, but I'm like, I would have no room for bikes. I would have no room for, storing my camping gear, which is all in the storage unit right now. And that's stuff. Now, granted, I might have room if I can talk the wife into letting me putting it in our walk-in closet in our bedroom for the camping gear. But that stuff is camping and it's got dirt and you don't want that in the closet, so.
What battery are you using while camping for your CPAP?
I don't. I always get an electric site when I camp.
Oh, I thought you were looking at some, though.
I am. Probably the ones I would try. I would see, even if I had one, I would probably still get an electric site because I'm betting by the end of the night with two CPAPs running off of one, that battery would need recharged all day, is my guess. I'd have to sit there and do the calculations to figure that out. But I would probably first look at a Jackery. Those seem to be capable of powering it. Anchor also has one as well. The other alternative would be a generator, which I'm not. I don't want to be one of those dicks.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand that. But so, were you looking at solar for recharging, or
what? That can happen. You can do that. The Jackery does have. You can from Jackery buy a fairly large panel. My experience has been, though, in campgrounds, it's generally going to be difficult to do that because you're usually under trees.
Right. You're not going to get enough sunlight even under optimal conditions to really be able to power something unless you're toting around a whole lot of solar panels.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they can work. Like, I'm trying to think there's a channel with Tiny Campers, not Camping Camera, that's one of them. I think it's Playing with Sticks is the name of the channel. That guy has had, he and his family, he has two little kids, they go out into some pretty remote, campsites and ones that aren't in campgrounds, and what he does is he has like a battery like that, like a Jackery or something like that. I don't know if he has a Jackery, but he has that, and then he has a refrigerator electric power cooler, all right? Which I think his might also have the freezer in them too. I don't know, because they do have them now with freezers, which is interesting. But He will have the solar power up on his trailer, and basically the solar power is connected to the battery, recharging the battery, and the cooler's connected to the battery. And with a good sunny day, his battery isn't down. It basically holds its own with the solar panel. So.
Yeah, but you're going to be running your CPAP at night.
Right. Right.
I know there's a YouTuber, DIY Perks, that built his own using a bunch of 18650 batteries, but then the problem gets to be, recharging.
Now, the
and
other
how long does the charge last?
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is the ones I'm looking at have inverters into them. Now, if I can do some research and find for both mine and my wife, DC cables, because the CPAPs are DC devices. Alright. So if I had
then you'd lose
DC,
less conversion.
Exactly. I'd lose less energy. So I can probably run it for longer off the 12-volt socket versus running it off of the inverter. So. But,
well, that's just, when you measure the voltage coming out of the power supply and build your own.
Right. But, but that's interesting. Because the other things I'm thinking about, too, if you're even for the house, is I don't know if we can purchase the Powerwall here yet, but Tesla's got the Powerwall, which is essentially a bank of batteries that you install in your garage.
Yeah, and roughly $3,000 a piece, I think.
Yeah, it's actually competitive with generators.
Yeah, but you need three or four of them to, run your house.
Well, yeah. Well, that's if you have everything run off of it. If you choose to run only certain things, like, say, for example, everything but the 220 stuff, so no, you know, no dryer or no, like furnace.
Well, this is Texas, so the air conditioner's a must.
I know, I know. So I'm with you. It's a must up here right now too. So it was 80, probably the hottest week we've had. Yes, and I don't even know how feasible it is, you know, or even if it's allowed with our HOA. So it might not be, but speaking of that, I still got to figure it. Is like the closing, they gave us a list of the utilities, all the utilities. So we got the second phone number for the water. All right, you call the phone number and it tells you to, if you're signing up new service, go to this website. So I go to the website, plug in all the particulars, and they said, hey, we received it. I'm like, great. Am I set up? I don't know. Because I think what they do here is they have a master meter for the neighborhood, and then they split the costs equally with all the houses in the neighborhood. So.
For your electric? That,
no, for water.
Oh.
No, electric and gas are all settled. We're good with that. Spectrum, we're all settled. In fact, Spectrum and the trash company I already got a bill for. Speaking of that, after I finish the show, I do gotta go take the trash out to the curb, which I got a lot this time. The great thing is, I have to verify that, I will verify that after the trash truck comes tomorrow, but I think you can just drag crap out to the curb, and like, in Columbus, you call that a bulk pickup. So like, I'm gonna take as many cardboard boxes as I can fit in the recycle bin, as I can. And then the rest of them, I'm just gonna sit out and, see what happens. Cause I need them gone. Just taking up too much space in the garage. And I work tomorrow too, which is fun. I should have took the whole week off, but oh well.
So you've been off this whole week?
I've been off Monday through, Friday through, Wednesday, so. But, I do have something I'll talk about, after the show though, which is, something I don't necessarily want, on the recording. But it's good stuff. So. And today, we got the, like, the living room is pretty much squared away, dining room's squared away. Right now it's just trying to find, like, the pieces that we need to finish out the house so it's more functional. Like, it'd be nice to have a patio set for the screen room. And then the wife said, well, we should get one for the other, for the pad too. I'm like, I don't know, you won't have enough room for it with the grill out there. I'm trying to talk her into, like there's, between the screen room and the kitchen is a light, well, you got a light hang, like a hanging light fixture, and it's designed for you to put a table underneath of it, you know, like for a breakfast area. So I'd kind of like to put a table there, but, it's little things that'll come with time, you know, but.
That's cool.
I'm tired, man.
I bet.
The only question is will my headset, when I'm on a long, you know, those long quarter calls that you have with your entire division, can I go to the bathroom when I'm on my headset?
Just don't go to the bathroom in the headset. You should be fine.
No, keep it muted.
Is it a phone headset or a computer headset?
Well, It could actually be either. The one I'm using right now,
is it a Bluetooth headset?
It's Bluetooth, so it might be okay.
Well, how close is your bathroom to your office?
Well, see, the hall bath's closer, because basically I go down the stairs across the hall and into the bathroom. My bathroom might be a little far away. So we'll see.
Well, depending on how far it is, you can always, you know, put a Bluetooth dongle like halfway through, right, and use that.
LG Air Freeze.
Or pay exorbitant amounts of money for a Bluetooth repeater.
LG Air Freeze. I had the phone like sitting in the kitchen, and I was, you know, roaming around the house, going in and out of the garage and stuff with the headset on, and it was never cutting out. The only way it cut out was if I went into the front room, which is my wife's office area. So, we gotta get her set up. I got more drapes to hang. At least I got mine set, so I'm not gonna be killed by sunlight up here.
Just do all your calls from your phone instead of from your PC, and you know, you'll be fine.
Well, that's actually an alternative too. So, yeah, I have my iPhone I can use. I have another Bluetooth headset I can pop in when that's happening. If I have a longer call.
I usually leave my phone like right outside the bathroom on a little table that we have there. And I make sure it's muted before I go in there, but you know, there's always a little niggle in the back of your head before you flush the toilet. Did I mute it?
Yep. Oh, and they also threw in a Amazon spy device too with the smart home system. An Echo Dot third generation. I think it's the one before the one where they put the clock in the front of it. I'm kind of surprised they went large. It's actually larger than the second generation ones I've had. But. And I got a microwave up here too now. It's the microwave that we bought for the, apartment.
Just don't try to microwave something while you're on a call.
Probably not. No. Caused me a little Bluetooth interference. Well, I can microwave it, and I can air fry up here, too, if I really wanted to.
Oh, in your apartment office?
Yeah, the only thing missing up here is a toilet.
That's where the wife's going to banish you when she's mad at you.
Or I banish myself. That's more like it. Yeah, I definitely want to get the rest of this set up. I need to get that desk up here and unpack things. I'd like to get another one like I have, because it has one end has cabinet space in it. So that would be nice, but the problem is IKEA's been having quite a bit of supply issues. And that's where I got the one I have. And I haven't seen anything like I remember Meyer used to carry a lot of solder furniture. IKEA's stuff is mostly made by them, actually, in the States. And, they haven't had any in a long time. Not a lot of people have. I'm just glad that this is over for the most part, except for minor things we find. You know, it is what it is. We're here.
Could be worse. Cat, but that's good that you're finally in.
Cat's been scared since we moved. He's been hiding most of the time. He'll come out at night. Like, I'll crawl in bed and he'll call up. He'll get up with the wife and I. But then, like, we're sitting at the table eating our steaks, And he comes walking out of the bedroom like nothing happened and starts caterwauling because he wants us to give him a bite of steak. And we're like, yeah, you're not getting no steak.
Well, I got something here. I got some news, Goose Joe.
Cool.
See if you can figure this out. Guess what time of year it is? Guess what time of year it was last week? No. Guess what time of year it was last week?
Crawfish ball?
No. It's that time of year where I break my MP3 player.
Oh, you did it again.
I did it again. I was really bummed out, man. I think it was Saturday. No. Yes, it was Saturday. Or was it Friday? No, it was Friday. It was fine. And I was working out. And what I believe had happened was I had it on my side and I was using dumbbells and I think I banged into the side of it and it crashed the screen. And it made it unusable. I can't see anything on this screen, and I can't easily replace it.
Oh, now you're
going to
order an S4 and or an S3 and turn that into an MP3 player.
No, I got a different one because I'm like, this was like a. if I gonna buy a phone or something that big, I'm probably gonna end up breaking the screen on that too with working out.
Well, they make an S3 mini.
So I did some searching around again, like I did last time, and there's a whole new refresh of the same crap that was out a year ago. Only it seems like every year they get chintzier and chintzier on a lot of the models. Like the clips are gone. You're not getting any Sansa devices anymore. I have not seen one in a couple of years now. If you want to buy, like, they only have the sports and the jams anymore. I think it's the sport and the sport clip and the jam, and they're like the worst of the worst models of the Sansa. They're the bottom of the barrel.
They're junk.
And so if you want to get a Sansa, you might be able to find one used to probably used at this point for way more than you would pay for a brand new. It's really expensive. But then there's a whole slew of them out there ranging from $25 all the way up to, you know, $200.
Oh, you can pay a lot more.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, you could pay a lot, but the general price range I was looking for was $20 to $50. They're all, I want to say they're all essentially the same. Just different branding on it and maybe a different shape. I've had enough of these now that the interface is almost identical. The software interface is almost identical. The controls for it may be a little different. This time around, I've read a bunch of reviews. I've read through all this thing. There's one feature that I would really like to have. And that feature is an auto bookmarking feature on whatever type of file that I would listen to. The Sansa clip, I want to say clip zip, and earlier had that feature. And what I primarily mean by that is if I were to press the button by accident, bump it, and it would switch to the next file, that if I went back, it would just pick up where it left off. Or if I decided, well, I'm going to stop listening to this podcast here and go play some music, when I came back to that podcast, it would ask me if I want to resume where I left off. Like, I think the clip, after the clip zip, after those models after clip zip and everything else that's come after it, does not do that. It doesn't like do an auto bookmark. This one that I got, an iHumi, is essentially like the one I got before the Sulker I had. Roughly the same interface. Although the keys on there are a little different than the navigation seems a little weird compared to like the Sulker. The big difference is the Sulker had up and down buttons and this has left and right. So if you're in the menu system, if you want to go through the menu, that's like starting at the top going to the bottom, you're going to press right. And if you want to go other direction, you're going to press left. So having used a lot of them where they actually have an up and down button, and then the right and left buttons are to fast forward, and it has a separate button for backing out and a separate button for like clicking on and getting a menu, like the Sulker has in some of the other devices. This only has left and right, and the bottom is the back out, and the top is the menu button. So when you get into a menu, you have to remember that you got to scroll left and right to go up and down. That was the only thing. It took a little while kind of to get the hang of how I want to use this. Unlike all the other devices that I've had, this one, when you power it off, and I don't want to say like power. So there's a power button, and there should be two modes. There's like a sleep mode, and then there's an actual power off mode. And if you put it in the sleep mode, after a while, it eventually goes into, it just powers off. So when you power it back on, you're back at the menu. So it's not, it doesn't pick up right where you left off. Now, once you do that, you have an option in the menu system, which is not usually right in front of you, that you can play the last, go to the last thing that was played in that location. And I'm trying to remember how to get to it. Yeah, it's really, It's really weird how you have to get to it. Now I can't remember how to do it. I think it's. Oh, it's weird because if I'm listening to a podcast, I go through the folder mode and get drilled down into the hierarchy of the folders to get to where it is. But when I power back on, if I want to get back to where, pick it up where I left off, I actually have to go to the music option and select, there's an option in there for last played, and it'll pick up right where you left off. Or it's been doing that for me. There's also a bookmarking feature where you can add a bookmark in a file which you're listening to, an audio file. And that works. That works just fine. Although I find it kind of a pain in the ass that if I'm just going to, you know, if I'm done working out and I'm going to put it down, that it just to have to bookmark it. So this thing was $25. It's kind of hit and miss on some of these devices anymore, whether they support AUG. I'm surprised that they all don't, because it seems like it's just, here's this standard software and here's whatever this company decided to use as a physical interface for it. I didn't see a big of a difference between what I had on, what's on here and what's on the Sulker. It's just the manufacturer's case for it is a little different. So that's it. There was one I was looking at, the Oakhurst, I think it's called. That one did not have, it didn't say it had AUG support on it. And I looked through the reviews and everything, and so it was hit or miss. And some people said it did. Other people said it only supported MP3 and like Apple Audio or something like that. I don't know. So I went with this. It was $25. It's been working great. But yeah, I mean, maybe one day I'll switch to a phone. I'm just kind of reluctant to have something a little big like that. It's a little more pricier, a lot more features, and I almost really did. I almost was like, you know what? I have so much storage space on my phone. I'm not even tapping into like more than like 3 or 4% of it at this time, and I can put an SD card in there. I can just slap all this shit on my phone, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't like Bluetooth headphones. So I usually have whatever it is, I have wired headphones that I'm listening to through there, and having this incident happen where I cracked the screen because I bumped it with the dumbbells, I'm really reluctant to using my phone now because of that. But maybe this is gonna be the last one, and next time it's gonna be the phone. We'll see.
Well, it's like, I did not know this. You know, SanDisk is now owned by Western Digital? I didn't know that. Because I was trying to see what, do they still make MP3 players?
Wait, I thought it's not SanDisk, it's Sansa.
Yeah, Sansa was their MP3 brand of from SanDisk.
Oh, it is? Okay. You know what, I thought it might have been... Oh, SanDisk, okay.
Yeah, SanDisk, Sansa. The only one I am seeing let's see, what is it? The Clip Jam for $34 for 8 gig. So,
yeah,
that's actually available now.
The one thing that I saw with this, with the Sansa Clip, so there's another issue with these too. There was one of the things I didn't like when they went to, after the Clip Zip, I believe it was, is it used to consolidate your music files that were on the SD card and on the actual device itself. So if you had music files, you had a directory of music files on the device and you plugged in an SD card with music files on it, it would scan all that and aggregate it all in the song database that is stored on the system. So if you just went to music, you would have both. And then later on, after I think it was the Zip, all the software for this shit changed and they dropped that. So you would have two separate databases, one for what's on the actual device internal memory, and the second one was what's on the card. And it wouldn't consolidate them together. You either had from the card or from the device, and that was it. And then they all had, they had like a 2000 song limit in that database too, which I don't think was on the Clip Zip. I'm not 100% sure. Now, according to what I'm reading about this one, because it's 64 gigs, it's supposed to be able to store a lot more than 2,000 songs, but it does still do the split where it's songs on the card and or songs on the device. You can't, it's one or the other. But I'm sorry, go ahead. You were saying about that? Hello?
I don't know you.
I thought you were going to say something.
No, I wasn't anyway. But, you know, the MP3 market is, for the most part, dead. I mean, you have maybe some SanDisk models. and that's about it. I mean, everyone else has switched to their phone.
Yeah, and I know it is a dying market. I'm not surprised at all.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I'm like, why do I keep buying these things? Maybe I should just get used to using Bluetooth headphones. That way I don't have to have it on me when I'm working out. It could be over there, you know, where I usually keep it, my phone, right there by the washer and dryer on the ice chest. Sitting there, and that way it's not going to get bumped or anything. But I don't like earbuds, and I'm not sure. I guess they have.
Yeah, you can get cans. But cans are kind of not convenient when you're working out.
The ones that I always buy are they got the foam pad on them, you know, just like regular headphones. Instead of going over the top of your head, it goes around the back behind, like it wraps around the ears and goes back. I'm just not comfortable with like sticking things in my ear, because then I want to wiggle my ears and then they fall out. Although my wife has a pair of Bluetooth and she hasn't been using them. Maybe I should just give it a whirl for a while.
Yep. Yep. It's not so bad. And I use Podcast Addict. And the thing I like about that, is I can have it speed up shows, you know?
Right.
Kind of convenient, you know? Certain podcasts I can listen to fast, but.
Damn. But that was. One of the things that like weirded me out at first, and I completely forgot because this reminds me of the exact same way the model I had. You know what? I should just. I'm on Amazon's webpage right now. I can search my order history, and I know exactly which ones I had. So, you know what? Surprise, surprise. I got the Sulker in May of 2019. So that thing lasted me 2 years.
2 years, wow.
That's not too bad. And then before that was the Defect. Sounds like Defect. Defect Portable Clip Sport Bluetooth MP3 8GB Lossless Sound Music Player by Defect. That was in 2017, so that almost lasted me 2 years. And before that was...
Mm-hmm.
Huh, so... That doesn't make any sense. It said I had an app AGP Tech armband. Why would I have an AGP Tech armband if I didn't have an AGP Tech?
That was in
March of 20. Oh, I must have gotten. So June 14th was when I got the Sansa Clip Jam player. And then 2013 was the Sansa Clip Zip. And 2012 was the Sansa Clip Zip again. No, that's July 13th, 2012. So, yeah. Oh, my God. I bought so many of these things. And April 15th, 2012 was the Sansa Clip Zip. And then I'm sure if I signed into my old account, there's probably a couple on there.
Yeah, those things had a great UI, but they never really lasted all that long. The soft plastic screens shattered easily. Or got so scratched they were unusable.
Or you slam them in a car door,
or you step on them.
my Insignia MP3 player, which I liked the best. That was a great one. That was a Best Buy house brand. And I loved that thing. And it supported AUG. It had Bluetooth on it.
Was that thing really wide?
No, it was fairly narrow. I mean, it had a weird, instead of, it had a click wheel like thing, like iPods did. And, instead of being like vertical, you know, with the screen on top and then the wheel on the bottom, it was horizontal. But they also had two headphone jacks on it too.
Wait, did this thing take like a AA battery?
No. No, Insignia Pilot.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, that's the one I had, yeah. I think it was the Insignia Pilot. Is there? Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Geeks.com has a product review of it back in 2008.
Because I remember my wife had one. and it was like one of the first MP3 models that came out. But it was, it actually took a AA battery. And it was red and gray. And it was, I think it was an Insignia brand.
Was it, sure it was Insignia or iRiver?
iRiver, that's it. It was the iRiver. Good memory, Joel.
Yep.
And that
wait a minute.
That thing, yeah, so it was the iRiver. I thought it had a... It was like triangular shaped.
Yep. I remember those.
Yeah, and it had it took a AA battery. I'm looking at it right now, and it had... Yeah. I think... Man, did I originally get this iRiver device, and then I moved on to something else and gave it to my wife?
Probably.
I think it had recording, and we were using it to record, like, interviews and stuff at one point when we go to shows. Boy, that was way back in the day.
That was a time.
When did that device come out? Where's the Wikipedia page for it? iRiver. 1999?
Well, I wouldn't mind finding Joe Bourne's company, Neuros. They one of the first products they had was the Neuros Digital Audio Computer, which was essentially a MP3 player.
I remember those. I think I still have one around. Not that, but what was the Neuros? What was the one that...
OSD or the MP4 recorder.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
I remember they tried to make it HD, but that kind of failed. Like, you switched over to the Link.
Damn. Oh, so got to make a decision about next week. I'm not going to be here because I'm going to be out on Brigantine. So it's up to you guys. If you want to, you know, do the show and somebody record it, when I get a chance, I'll try and post it, or we just skip. You can just skip next week and we'll have a vacation. We'll pick up the week after.
What do you think, Joe?
I'm fine either way. Might be nice to take a break.
Same.
Take a vacation, whatever. You guys decide. It's up to you. It's up to you. Man, I'll tell you what. One thing I've learned, and what seems to be the case, is with doing the work on the WordPress Gutenberg editor is like I spent yesterday, a good portion of yesterday, was like, I had this ticket to like we have two interface, you know, two services, API services that we hook into, and they're like, if you get Cherry Hill Tony, you gotta mute yourself. Cause...
What the heck?
So
what's on?
So what happened was, what we wanted to do is two APIs that we hook into, and there was like I said, you know, and before they have fully set up these APIs and connectivity to them with the code, they were like, they put in a ticket and say, well, look at potential network issues and maybe we need to implement a retry or a notification to the user if they have like a timeout or blah, blah, whatever this thing. So I implemented a retry, and which was really simple to do. But then they're like reading through the ticket and I'm like, I haven't had a problem with having to do this. I actually had to kind of break it to test this out, because once they did the work to get the functionality and properly connect to the API, we weren't having any problems. We're like, well, no, we don't want to do a retry anyway. Maybe we'll just display a message to the user that there was a problem. And so yesterday I was trying to do this, figure out how I could display a message. Now, the Gutenberg editor is a replacement for the what was the old editor interface in WordPress. And instead of just like PHP and Java and HTML, CSS, it uses React, JavaScript. So I could not find an easy way to display a notice on the page. Like, you could in the old interface and hook into a way to do it, but on the new one, like I could get it to display like a message, but it would always end up in the background and be covered by the editor itself. So if you looked at the source code, you could see the message trying to display. So what I come to find out is because it's written in React, there's no way right now, unless you write an actual or use a plugin that you could easily just tell it from the PHP side to display this message, you actually have to hook into the create notice function off the data display data or something like that. But you can't do that in PHP. You have to do it in JavaScript. So I'm trying to work in this thing right here, this connector, to try and be able to display a message in the editor, and there's just no way to do it without having already written or using a plugin. And I'm like, you know, this is just such a pain in the ass, but... And then they're like, well, we don't want to do that anyway. And I'm like, fine, I'm closing the ticket. Carry on.
I know the feeling.
I'm going to go back to my... Oh, Google. Google had an outage on Monday.
Did they? I didn't even notice.
It was in US East 1. They were having some BGP router issues. And what was really wild about this is Friday morning, I had finished my workout and I was, you know, getting ready. It was about 8:30. I wasn't ready to get back into work yet, but then I got a ping and like, you know, one of the leads there is like, hey, can you help jump on an issue here? And I'm like, yeah, okay, because I thought it was a cache-based problem. And so looking through the logs, yeah, it looked like there was a cache-based problem. Cache-based cluster not having a problem. I don't see any problem. It's not taxed. It's all the nodes look healthy. Everything looks fine. I can't see any issues. And so we spent a better part of the day looking at this, and I'm digging through the logs and stuff. And I'm like, this is weird. This is like network problems. I don't think it's related to Couchbase specifically, but we had seen this a couple weeks ago where it was a network issue, but it presents itself more as like there's a problem connecting to Couchbase. And when you dig into it, what I had found was that when the cluster, because these nodes are ephemeral nodes, and what that means is one of the things you could do to save money is you could use what they call the ephemeral nodes, and that means that at any point Google can terminate the nodes, and they generally don't live longer than a day, and so they just terminate the nodes and it spins off on another GKE node, and you get a reduced cost for doing that. Now that just means that you have redundancy in your application. And so if you lose a pod, it's not going to stop functionality or break production. It just you know, it just spins up another one and continues to go, right? But you have, we have like more than one pod running per application. So if we lose one, the functionality is still being served by one or more additional pods. So it's not a big deal if we have ephemeral nodes. But what ends up happening, what I saw was happening is when it would go terminate the node, it would shut down the network on that node first. Like that's what ended up happening before the application and would receive this termination signal and it would kill the container. So for about a second or two, the application is still running, but there's no network. And therefore it would try and do something like connect to Google APIs or connect to Couchbase, and it couldn't do it. So it would throw in like a timeout error or like a network error. So it was a lot of digging in because this is happening like a second or two before you would see the error. So what it looked like was, here's the application. It throws a network error and then it shuts down, you know, it crashes the pod, but that wasn't the case. It was the node is spinning the pod off and going to throw it onto another node. And so when that happened, the network got shut down, then the container was shut down, then the pod was terminated. And that's what happened. So what the errors that we were seeing weren't errors because of a problem, it's because it lost the network. I thought that that was a similar issue, but, it turned out to not be. It presented itself similarly, but what I was seeing is these pods weren't being terminated and moved somewhere else. They would end up having like what looked like a network issue, then they go down, and then it was weird, and then another one would spin up. So we determined that it had to do with an unhealthy Kubernetes node causing this problem. And they're like, okay, that's fine. And then sure enough, Monday morning, same damn thing happens again. Like, it presented itself almost the same way, except this time when I went to look at the Couchbase cluster, I was starting to see problems. Like, it said there was a node missing. Scalar was not able to communicate to the agent on some of the nodes. And I was like, oh shit, we're really having a problem here. But then it wasn't just Couchbase. It was like almost across the board on other things. And it was about an hour long that it happened. And then everything was fine. And the clusters were fine. Everything was fine. And I was like, this is absolutely...
What happened?
Like, this wasn't a problem with the cluster. This was a networking issue, right? Because we could see that it was obviously, again, a networking issue. And those networking problems. And I spent a good part of the day looking into it. Then Google came back and said, yes, we did have BGP error issues. But the problem that keeps happening is the same... No, it's like these errors, the same noise keeps happening. It's like we see what appears to be a network issue being thrown into logs, but we don't know what's causing it, right? Like we think, oh, you know, we see that there's a timeout trying to reach Couchbase. We see, sometimes it can't reach Google APIs, but the Couchbase was the big one. And so before, when it was because of the order of how things were being shut down to move the pod off and recreate it somewhere else, that was one issue. Last week it was a bad node. This week it was actually a network problem. But as I dug deeper into it and started looking at things, I'm like, we actually do have a quirky situation going on, particularly with this one application, where I'm seeing an awful lot of connectivity problems. And what it boiled down to, what I noticed was happening was when the pod is running or when it spins up and it's running, there's two checks. There's a readiness check and a liveness check. And the readiness check is essentially, hey, is the pod ready when it comes up and is it running? Is it ready? Yes. The liveness check means, hey, is it still active? Can it run, do we consider this thing still alive? So Kubernetes could do these checks instead of having to wait for there to be like an error or a signal that comes through. So it's an HTTP check where it checks the status page. And if everything's okay, it passes. But what I started seeing is these checks would start flapping. And so it would miss a readiness check, and it does three readiness checks. Well, it does it every 3 seconds or 5 seconds. And if it has three consecutive failures, then it says, okay, there's a problem here. So what was happening is I would see it fail the readiness checks, fail liveness checks. The Kubernetes load balancer would say, okay, this thing's not, there's a problem here. It would mark it inactive. And then a few seconds later, it would come back. And it would keep repeating this process over and over. And this happened across like a lot of nodes. So when this happens and it shuts down the network, if it tries to do something, it can't reach out to Couchbase or Google API and throws an error. And then when it comes back, it just picks up right off of where it left off. Most of the time, nobody notices this problem. It's not impacting users. But what bugs me about it is when I go to actually look at a legitimate problem, there's all this noise in there because of it. And, you know, the big concern is, well, since we're not experiencing any problems and nobody's seeing any problems, we're not having any data problems or anything, and nobody notices this unless you actually go looking, do we want to adjust the values? Because what happens if we adjust the values and we get rid of this problem, but a legitimate issue happens and then it doesn't catch it in enough time before it does cause user impactful problems? It's like, do you live with the noise or do you try and fix that problem and maybe create others? Right, Joel?
Sure.
Let's wrap this shit up. It's already 12 past 10. Fun stuff. That was a lot of digging through Google Logger and looking at, I'm liking Google Logger. I'm liking it more and more. It's like looking at the cluster logs and the node logs and the pod logs and the container logs and all these damn logs. But Google Logger is getting a lot better. The only thing I don't like about it is the way that things are set up is that, like, if you want to do metrics on something in Google Logger, in Sumo Logic, it was easy to do that all in one interface. Whereas with Google Logger, you have to define a query and then you can take that query into metrics and it will gather metrics for you. Although, unlike all the other logging metric software that I've ever used, it only goes forward. So from the moment that you create the metric, you can't apply that metric backwards and say like, oh, here's that problem that we identified. Let's create a metric on it. And then let's look and see if we have these values and these problems like going back last week. Well, that doesn't work. You actually have to create the metric. And then from that point on, you can see the future going forward. So a week from after creating that metric, you can look back in that week between when you create a metric and current time, but you can't apply that metric to anything prior to when you created it. And then everything is separated into projects. So our team has a project. And then to look at the logs, we need to go into the cluster name, Kubernetes cluster name project. And we have one in East and one in West in production. So we can't see both East and West in the same place. We can't see like our Google services logs because they're under our project. But if we want to look at application container logs, we have to go into the cluster. It's kind of scattered, but.
Yeah. Right,
I better shut up.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Ending the show. Play us out.
Alright. Yep, here we go. Thanks a lot. We'll see you in 2 weeks, probably.
Oh my god. It's
Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making it poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
I am short.
Hell yeah! I stopped these recordings so you can tell me what you have to tell me. I think I know what it might be, but...
Interview number 2 for the tech lead position.
Wait, I didn't stop the recording yet.
That's okay.
Get the recordings going here. There we go. Find out which show number this is because I was just looking at it and I don't remember. I think it's 916. I'll tell you what, man. I should save it for the show. I don't see anybody here. I guess I'll start the show, and then I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's what.